Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Sports on FM just sounds better. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 8 o'clock, straight up. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, 713-780-3776. Our Astros had the night off last night, a well-deserved rest. Now they got, what a weekend. This is one of the biggest weekends in the season. When you're taking on a Rangers team that is as potent as this Rangers team is, this is dangerous. We're playing for the silver boot right now, okay? We had the Governor's Cup,
which
we destroyed them.
Houston, yeah.
Yeah. And now we got the silver boot. And you got, if you got a Jake Odorizzi going tonight, you got to be excited.
You have to be
against,
or you get to be excited.
You got against.
I consider it a privilege to watch Jake Odorizzi
taking on a Glenn Otto.
Odorizzi Otto, the battle of the O's, big O's. Yeah. Somebody's gonna be making their O face tonight. We don't know if it's Odorizzi and the Astros or Otto and the Rangers. It's a very dangerous team, though.
This is a dangerous.
The Rangers are a very dangerous.
Yeah,
team.
Well, the last time you were there,
can you
got
tell me their record?
Them.
What's the Rangers' record right now?
The Rangers, at this point in our lives, the Rangers are right now 44-83.
That sounds dangerous to me for the Astros. That sounds like a nightmare scenario for the
44
Astros. To take on a 44-win team?
Two out of every three games.
Yeah.
Almost.
They're going to have to really hustle to get to 65 wins.
That's a really bad baseball team right there. 44-83.
Which
and
is
I'm
what
telling
makes
you,
this scary.
I'm telling you, would it shock you if the Astros lose two out of three? Nah. They got swept by the Rangers earlier this year, and this is a 44-83 team. They got swept by them. That's how this team plays against garbage teams.
It's so unbelievable. How many of the Rangers' wins have come against the Astros? What percentage of their wins?
Oh, my goodness. Dude. This team, when you look at their schedule, it is all L's. They are
It's a
terrible.
Bunch of red L's, yeah.
Now, they got swept by the Astros here. Beat them 7-3, 4-1, and 3-1. But they were scrapping. They were scrapping here. But the Astros lost and got swept at the Rangers earlier this season. And that is the scary part of this. They went there, and it was early in the year. But this is I'm not excited at all about this series. If you want to know the truth, look at this. When the Astros went there and got swept, they had lost three games previous to that, and then they went on a run where they lost 11 straight. Mm. Oh my God! And the Astros got swept by them. Oh. This is a disaster weekend.
No.
Well, yeah.
They'll sweep the Rangers.
By the way, the Yankees won again, beat the A's. Thank you. Good night. So the Astros picked up a half a game on the A's.
Six now?
It's 5.5 because the Astros didn't play.
No, that's right.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I would much rather be playing the Rays or the Yankees this weekend than the Rangers. Because
Come on.
It could be. No. Because it's more embarrassing losing to the Rangers.
Yeah, it's more embarrassing. That's what they do. They lose to teams that aren't good. It's scary, but they're not going to lose. What are we at right now? Let me see what the number is.
With Jake Odorizzi. Just watch how this works out for you.
They don't even have a line.
They won't even put a line out there?
Wait, It's tonight.
It's yeah.
Yeah, they don't have a line out there right now.
A Glenn Otto. If you're going to play a Glenn Otto, how are you going to win that game? It's almost impossible. He was a Yankee at one point in his life. It's almost impossible to beat a Glenn Otto. Anyway, so they start tonight in I don't even want to. You're right. There's no line. I'm looking on my bookie. There's no line for this game. That's how bad it is.
Why do you think that is?
Because the Rangers are
no. If you're the Rangers, you're like, okay, we know the Rangers will suck. I'm just trying to see if it's going to be in the 200s. I want to see how high. Minus 260. I mean,
it feels like you play the other side.
How about the A's are at home against the Yankees?
Here it is. Astros 210.
The money line is Yankees minus 714, which means 7-1 favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap. At Oakland, which is almost a playoff team. Holy, but the A's are on a tailspin. You want to talk about the Seattle might be the team. Well, it's going to be Red Sox. More than likely, it's Red Sox Yankees. How good will that be? Red Sox Yankees in the wild card, and the winner plays Tampa, and Astros play the White Sox.
Yeah.
How sweet will that be? That is.
I don't want to.
Right now, if you want to know the truth, wouldn't you rather play the White Sox than the Yankees in the first round?
You would. However, I just think it's highly unlikely that anyone. I think to be the man, you're going to beat the man. The question becomes, would you rather get the Yankees earlier or later?
It doesn't matter. I always want to be later. I always want to play them later.
Chance to have injuries.
Let Tampa and the Yankees kick. One of them's got to go.
Yeah. No. I'm
and they're
fine
probably
with that.
The best two teams in the American League right now, and they got to play each other.
Right now. Yeah, I'm not sure. I believe I kind of like the idea of playing teams a little earlier. You know, the Astros have always, not always, but when they face the Yankees early, they've done fine against the Yankees early.
And later. They always beat the Yankees.
Well, they beat the Yankees all the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They beat the Yankees.
So
they beat them late in 19 to get to the World Series. In 18, they didn't play. Who did they play in? They didn't play the Yankees last year. They played. Wait. Were Yankees? Yeah, the Yankees were the ALCS when me, you, and Raheel went.
Yeah.
That was ALCS,
That
right?
was ALCS.
And then...
with Garrett Cole, yeah.
Yeah, and then who did the Astros beat?
That was 19.
Beat
they beat them.
No, who did the Astros beat before the Yankees? Before they went
the,
to take them? Oh,
the
Rays. Because what's his name?
Glass
was tipping pitches.
Or they were cheating.
I think that was a tip. Because he even said, I tip pitches. Here's my glove. He goes, my glove was here. Then my glove was here. He acknowledged he tipped pitches and fixed it.
Maybe
that,
they were cheating.
I don't think 19
and maybe
was
they were cheating.
No, if you're if you think they were using video surveillance in 19?
They had a buzzer, remember?
See, I don't think they cheated. I think he legitimately, when he admits it, although I do remember Big Poppy making a big deal about, oh, you know Astros! That's before we knew all the cheating stuff. But he kept. Now, they may have stolen signs or whatever in a regular way, but I just think he was tipping his pitches because he eventually fixed it in the third inning. But regardless, they'll beat the Yankees early. They'll beat the Yankees late. But you'd rather see them later than early because then somebody could develop an injury.
So when the Astros came back and scored six in the ninth against the Yankees the day before the All-Star break, when Jose Altuve hit the three-run homer.
Yeah.
When he was wearing a buzzer. Remember? Mm-hmm. No, this year, on July 11th,
okay.
The Astros had an 8-game lead over the Yankees at that time. Wow. Today, they have the same record.
That was in July, dude.
It was July 11th. Today, they have the same record.
6 weeks later? Yeah, 6 weeks later.
Yeah. And that's how good the Yankees have been. They picked up 8 games
on
the
Astros.
The Astros
have been playing a weaker schedule over the last 3 weeks. Like, this is the weak part of the schedule, and the Astros are not.
They're not.
Like, you're struggling to get past the Royals. You had, what, 7 games against the Royals? You finished 4-3.
3-4.
No, 3-4.
3-4. You lost the season series to the Royals.
You know what? Salvador Perez in 2015 was a pain in the ass. Salvador Perez in 2021 is a pain in the ass. It does. Salvador Perez
is always
a pain in the ass.
No, Lance. He's not as good as Santana. So pitch to Salvador Perez with first base open and second and third in the first game you played the Royals.
That's
the thanks, Papa.
That's what the analytics told him.
Hey, I don't know if you've seen, but Santana's pretty good in the clutch. Really? Is he? No, it still pisses me off. I'll never forget that. And Taylor Jones dropping that, well, missing that pop-up, that foul pop. I'll never forgive him for that. I do hold grudges. I'm holding a grudge against Pawpaw for pitching to Salvador Perez. I'm not going to forget. I will not forget. I'm looking at ESPN right now. Are Cam Newton and Mac Jones really competing for a starting spot? Is that a real thing?
Meaning what?
Meaning how is it's it? Cam. It's Cam's job.
Why would it be Cam's job? Cam was bad. Because, then he had a good week. Then he did something stupid that Bill Belichick hates stupid stuff. He's coming off a season where he sucked. And, like, what has Cam done to earn a job in New England?
A former MVP?
Don't care. You know other former MVPs that can't play? Cam hadn't been able to play for, like, 3 years.
Well, but he was really banged up last year.
Don't care. He's really banged up every year.
A healthy Cam early last year was good.
He was banged up last year. He was banged up the year before. No, but he was good
early on when he was healthy.
He had one game, and everyone's like, told you. And then Twitter said they told you, and then Twitter disappeared in the bushes when Cam sucked after that. He was awful last year. You remember that.
Yeah, I know.
You didn't forget that.
Well, but he couldn't bring a shoulder problem.
And he had shoulder problems in Carolina.
I don't know why, but people love Cam. I don't know why, but
Cam
he
at this point is a 1950s starlet. Do you ever see, not only does he wear what you call a babushka, I just call a headscarf. Mm-hmm. He wears that. I've seen him where he did a black and white noir film of himself drinking wine and a cigar as he told about why he's having issues playing with his shoulder when he was with Carolina. It was literally a black and white noir film on himself.
Yeah.
He does photo shoots of him getting into a limousine after a game. Like, he has a photo shoot. A photo's outside. There's somebody inside taking photos. At this point, I really think Cam right now is a fashion mogul. Yeah. I think he's more fashion mogul than quarterback. There's nothing that tells me he's a good NFL quarterback anymore. He was a really good one at one point. Well, he had a really good season. If you look at Cam's years, he was pretty good quarterback. Then he had an amazing year. Go look at his numbers. You'll see it. One amazing year, and he was amazing. MVP. Got a little afraid of getting on the football at the end of a Super Bowl, which I don't think is a good look.
No.
When you lose a ball and you're trying to save a game and you're like, nah.
Yeah.
For what?
Hey, the business decision.
For what? Business decision. A Super Bowl. Okay. And business hasn't been great since that time. But I don't think there's anything that tells me Cam Newton right now is a guy who should be given the starting job in New England. He wasn't good last year. He has been this thing where he went somewhere to get tested where he knows it is not considered inside the COVID protocol. He knows this. They have told every player forever. This is a fact. Everyone knows that you have to get tested at the facility. That's the only way the NFL will allow it. The fact that he did something else, all that's going to do is burn Bill Belichick's ass. Bill Belichick's the one who drafted Mac Jones. Mac Jones, by all accounts, has been really solid in camp, more so than I thought he would be. I can tell you that much. Cam is not the future. Mac Jones is the future. Why would you wait? For what?
If he's
Why
ready.
Why would you wait if Cam...
Well, because Belichick wants to win now. He hates that Brady won,
yeah,
and he didn't.
I'm not sure that Cam's
your
answer.
Look at what they did this offseason. Are you sure that you're not? Are you sure that Mac Jones is ready to win?
What makes
maybe you want to develop Mac Jones, but you want he wants to win.
But I don't think Cam is the answer either for winning.
No, that. I don't think he.
But, so I mean, if both things are equal, which I personally don't think they're going to win right now. If it's close, I go with the guy who's going to be my future. If I think he mentally can handle it. If he, because remember now, he's got as many starts, career starts. I believe he's the same number. No. He's got more because he played all last year. But he's a one-year starter, same as Trey Lance, same as, who's the other quarterback? Davis Mills, who's a third rounder. The difference is Mac Jones has played some really high-leverage SEC games where Trey Lance played one game last year.
But Mac played two when Tua was hurt.
Mac got in when Tua was hurt and played, yeah. So Mac has been a full-time starter, though, for 1 year. But Mac has, if Mac can mentally handle it, I think he's going to get the start. I don't think they're married to Cam Newton, and I don't know why you would be. I've seen enough from Cam Newton to know that Cam's done as an effective NFL starter that can win games.
Yeah.
You can argue with me if you want, but he is done. I'm going to be right on this one. He's not. I think he can be a below-average starter on a below-average team. I think that's still possible. By the way, Pete Prisco's agreed to join us today at 8:45, so coming up in 30 minutes. We'll save the Urban Meyer story. Oh, what do you know? A college coach, a hard-ass college coach, goes into a pro team in Florida, and there's already issues.
Sounds like Nick Saban.
But instead, it's Urban Meyer. We'll talk to Pete Prisco about it
when we come
back.
Something that we might really love is dying, and we'll talk. We'll tell you.
Dell?
No, we don't love Dell.
Oh, that's
right. Can't be Dell.
He can't be.
We don't love him. 8:15 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're talking about HRMP right now. If your business is dying, yeah, one of the reasons might be is because you're paying too much attention to your payroll instead of selling your widgets. And if you're doing that, if you've got somebody dedicated just to that, well, you're probably wasting money right now, especially if you've got more than one person taking care of your payroll. And, oh, by the way, what are you doing about your HR? Your business is growing, and you can't handle it right now. There are so many issues that are coming up, and you don't know what to do about certain things. You need an HR department. You need – how about you don't even have to have one in your building. You've got one in their building on the Beltway. Because that's where HR&P is, and they'll take care of all of your HR issues. They take care of ours, and we've had HR issues, and David Gow even told you it wasn't me. So, which is, well, a lot of people thought it was a lock, but it wasn't. So here's the deal. If you're looking for that payroll company that is going to take care of all your payroll needs, and you're looking for that HR company that's going to take care of all of your HR needs, your business is growing, you need them. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
Why don't we take a break?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
97.5.
Patrolling the Houston sports radio scene for 20 years. Well, minus a few years where Lance took a little detour. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Good morning, your majesties. Reporting in from the village of Alvin, all is calm except Buc-ee's is out of tea. Wow. Buc-ee's, pick it up. Where's my man George? George, pick it up. Let's get some tea out in Alvin. I don't think he's in charge of Alvin. So if all holds true, Friday the Rangers. Today, Rangers win 3-1. Tomorrow, Rangers 8-6. And Sunday, Astros 4-1. Yeah. I mean, it's a possibility.
No, it's a possibility. How about this guy doesn't really understand what we're doing here? He says, Slide Wolf says, mocking a series with the Rangers feels like step one to getting swept on the road. Who's mocking?
No.
Were you mocking?
No.
I had to tell that guy, no. What we just did was very serious. We're really legitimately concerned. The Astros don't play well against teams with losing records. The Astros have been swept previously by the Rangers.
Yeah.
You think we're mocking this series?
Now, somebody pointed out, we didn't have half our lineup there. So?
So what?
No.
Oh, all we had was, let's see, Yordan was out. Correa was still playing. Bregy was out. It doesn't matter. With half the lineup out, you're better than the Rangers.
It just doesn't matter. Okay? So, listen, the Astros could lose this series. It's not even a joke. It's not even a joke. The Astros could absolutely lose this series to the Rangers because that's what this team does. They don't get up for teams like this. Okay, I'm going to take a look. When they got swept by the Rangers in Texas, I'm going to take a look.
I don't want to see it. I don't want to talk about that. That's gross. You wanted to talk about something else. I don't want to talk about getting swept by the Rangers. Why would you put that bad juju on us?
No, but they did. They got swept
by I don't want to talk about that. That's disgusting.
What? How you just you're disgusted by it. Let's just take a look at the lineup. Real quick. That lineup. And then we'll get to the death and Altuve, Brantley, Bregman, Alvarez, Gurriel, Correa, Tucker. What? Yeah, they didn't have half their lineup.
They had their entire lineup.
And McCormick was in center field, and not. They had their entire lineup. So don't tell me they had half their lineup. They actually had the whole lineup, and they got their ass handed to them. They got the same lineup that they've got right now. So, no, you're wrong. They did not. And half the lineup was
you've
not out.
Got, you know what? Negative. You put negative energy out in the world, you're going to get negative results. You're putting so much negative energy out in the Astros world.
Right? No. You know what? We got to somehow scare the bejesus out of them so that they actually play against crap teams.
So a good friend of mine is a scout with the Jets, and he is the biggest Zach Greinke fan in the world. He loves all the idiosyncrasies.
Yeah, that's right.
That's where I feel like I'm missing something there.
No.
Of Zach Greinke. He loves everything that is Zach Greinke, which you and I, when I say that, if you know, you know. Like,
yeah.
He just loves Zach Greinke stuff.
Yeah.
You know, sitting down behind the mound, the 40-mile-an-hour curveball that he'll lollipop up. Just everything that is Zach. I've come to really appreciate it. Like,
His post-game press conferences.
Everything about him is kind of magical. Not giving up a bunch of home runs, but the other stuff. And he's upset because, dude, he was so upset because he lives in Dallas, and he was going to go to the Rangers game, the Astros-Rangers. He was going to go up and rep the Astros. But he's got to go. It's cut day on Sunday. It's a really big deal. So he's got to be in New York for cut day. So he's going to miss it. So somebody from the Astros, I reached out to Steve Grant, and he's going to send my buddy Zach a Zach Greinke bobblehead doll.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, so Zach's like, you literally made my day. I texted him and told him. He goes, I'm serious. Getting that is one of the best things that I've heard in 4 months of my life, that I'm going to get Zach Greinke. So it's nice that Zach Greinke, and so that's positive energy. Feels like you got negative energy.
Because we got to switch it up.
Yeah, we need positive energy.
No. You got to scare them into thinking, oh, this is actually a big game. This actually matters, because they go into it. They're like Cal. We're going to play the Rangers.
No, the Astros are not like Cal.
They're like Cal.
That's probably the most disrespectful thing you said since 2019.
No.
The Astros are like Cal. Oh, you mean that team?
No, against bad teams, yes.
You mean a team that won a World Series that played in another that... No, the Astros are not like... The Astros live in the ALCS. The Astros are like Cal.
Right. So I tease this. Are you... So for whatever reason, these other... The Texas and Oklahoma goes to the SEC. And all of the other conferences, well, then we're not playing a 12... team postseason. We're not going to do it. Hey, dumbasses. You want a four-team playoff that's going to be four SEC teams? Is that what you want? Because that's what you're going to get.
They'll beat each other up.
But you know what? You're absolutely going to have two.
You'll have two.
Half of the four team is going to be the SEC every year. Because if somebody comes out of there with one loss, and you got an undefeated Alabama team every year, and then the other team that's one loss that plays them in the championship game, you know what? That team deserves to go because they got through the gauntlet that is the SEC, or even a two-loss team out of the SEC. Why are these other conferences saying, man, we're not going to do it because the SEC got Texas and Oklahoma, so we're not going to do it? Hey, dumbasses, Pac-12. You ain't never getting there. You don't get there now. Why do you think you're going to get there because Texas and Oklahoma are going to the SEC? What is wrong with these teams that they're all going to veto a 12? It looks like it's dead. What looked like a way for the Pac-12 to resurrect itself, for another Big Ten team other than Ohio State to actually get in, for the Big 12, for the group of five to actually get in. Why do they think this is going to be? Why do they think because Texas and Oklahoma goes to the SEC that we have to veto it now? What is wrong with them? That's the only way they'll get in.
Mm. Well, you know, I think most of these teams are going to do everything they can to shut down what's happening. They're either going to find
shut
their
down
way.
What?
Well, they're either going to find their way to something new and something different, or they're going to veto anything that Oklahoma or Texas or the SEC wants to do. No one is going to play along, play nice. Everybody is going to
but it behooves them to have a 12-team. It behooves everybody.
But no, but a lot of people don't like that. You saw where ACC, Mac Brown, you would think that it would have benefit North Carolina. North Carolina players unanimously said, no, we don't want to. We want four teams, not eight teams.
What's wrong with you, North Carolina? You don't get in.
I know, but a lot of teams are saying this. It's a lot of teams don't think it matters as much.
The only team that gets in is Clemson out of your conference, and it will stay that way.
You always have to beat Clemson. I don't know. They're not John Granato.
But you don't.
You want to open it up to 48 teams. You want to do these crazy things.
But you don't have to beat Clemson to get there. Like, you don't have a shot right now.
Willis Wilson wanted it to be open, college basketball playoffs to be open.
To everybody.
The tournament should be open for everyone. No, it shouldn't. To be a 64, you got to earn your way in.
No.
And a lot of football people believe that once you go to 12, I mean, 8 is the farthest, but even North Carolina said, nah, you're not really earning your way in with 8. And usually, once you get outside of the top three teams, it's hard to find a fourth that's really deserving, to be honest with you. Every year you look at it.
Hey, North Carolina, how many appearances have you made in the playoffs? Zero.
And even with that, they didn't want to.
What's wrong with you?
Even the players didn't want to do it.
They're too stupid to go to college now.
I think more teams don't want
to
do it.
To go to college.
Well, a lot of players don't want to play extra games for free. I hate to tell you this, John, but a lot of people look at it like that, like, oh, you want another free game from us? Forget you.
No, players want to play, dude. You know what you think about when you're in college playing football? I want to play, and I want a chance to win.
I'll make sure and tell that to all the Mississippi State players who quit last year in the middle of the season.
Well, you know what?
They opted out.
Well, they're not gamers.
Kylan Hill.
They're not gamers like I am. That's all. Yeah. You know what? When we were playing, when
watch
we used
how many
to play,
opt
I
out.
Just couldn't wait to get on and play.
Watch how many opt out this year.
Yeah. You know what is the worst thing I've ever heard? Opt out.
I know.
It's the worst.
It's the worst because they're going to opt out this year and go prepare for the draft this year when they don't like how the season's going. This is the new thing. Players just going to opt out. So when you tell me that they can't wait to play and they all want to play, make sure you keep that same energy when players are opting out left and right in October and into November because they're going to go start their draft training. And they're screwing their teammates and their teams. That's a real thing now. Because it's about me. It's not about the team anymore. It's all about the individual.
I'm disgusted with everybody right now. The Astros, all of you.
Don't bring the Astros into this. They had nothing to do with any
all
of
you. When we come back, Rory's tired. And he's just tired. Okay.
Are we going to get to hear Dana Holgorsen?
He went after the afternoon guys.
Dana Holgorsen went after the afternoon guys, and I haven't heard it. You told me about it, but if we have the audio,
yeah.
That's really what I want to hear.
Oh, yeah, we'll do that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, I'm talking about hoops. It's basketball time. Well, it's not really basketball time. This is football time. But here's the deal is your kids, maybe they can't play football. I don't know, but they can play basketball every day in your driveway, in your backyard. In your front yard, whatever it is, I don't care, because you got a hoop sporting goal and equipment. Look, if you're looking for the best goal, not even arguable, it is the Hoops goal. Tempered glass backboard, the unbreakable rim where the kids can hang on it literally all day long and nothing will happen to it. You got the unrustable stanchion. Your wife will love it. Your kids will love it. Everybody is going to love it. And it adds to the street, the curb appeal of your home because it's the best goal that you could possibly buy. Don't get one of these. I mean, honestly, and you're going to try to put the installation is second to none. It is the best goal you can possibly get. Keith Tate has been doing this forever and he has the best product you will ever see in this market. It's the Hoops goal. ProDunkHoops.com. See everything that Keith is offering. You'll love Keith as well. He's the best guy. ProDunkHoops.com.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
There is a Marine outside the White House, and there is lightning striking. Did you see him flinch?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got to be honest. You would flinch, too, if that happened.
I mean, it looked like it was close.
Go through on Paris Island in basic, you would think a Marine wouldn't flinch like that. That had to be even louder than what the video
But he still, when he said, oh, F this, I'm out of here, he opened the door like a Marine. He did his walk, Marine walk, and he said, I'm out. You know what? I'm gonna guard the White House from inside the White House.
Yeah, lightning can't get me inside.
Lance was just saying how there was a lightning strike yesterday. He ran in the house and he locked the door so the lightning couldn't get him. I mean, Lance, you don't have to lock. The lightning's not going to come in the house and attack you.
I mean, if you're taking a shower, right? Or is that an old wives' tale?
No, what?
You never heard that if you take a shower during a lightning storm, it can strike the pipes and actually get in? It could strike you through the water?
Yeah, no, that's through the water.
Yep.
That's how Lance will die. He's already, no, that's how Lance will die, taking a shower, and the lightning will strike through the water. Hey, Rory McIlroy is joining us. Rory on a mobile is joining us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Apparently he's exhausted. You know, sometimes I get like this too. If I play like two or three times during the week, just it's exhausting. He's with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Rory, welcome to the show.
It's good to be here with you.
I know you're tired, but it's early. It's 8:36 and stuff. So I know you couldn't sleep in today?
It's not where I am. It's not 8:36. It's 9:36. I'm on the East Coast.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, but I know you're tired, so why'd you get up this early? Are you playing today? Aren't you in the tournament?
I've got a daughter. I've got a daughter and a wife. I thought you knew that. One of the reasons I'm so exhausted is because I had a baby daughter, and she's with me. And I've got 30 tournaments I've played since last year. I've got a daughter. I've got three nannies watching her. But it's difficult still, being a new father. You've got three different nannies and my wife taking care of her, but then I'm sitting here in the house, and it's exhausting watching it all take place. She'll sit there, and she drinks milk out of the bottle. She'll eat the baby food, and I've got to sit and watch it all, and it's draining. It's extremely draining to watch nannies take care of your child for this long and play golf. I don't know if you know anything about golf, but it's an exhausting sport, and when you've got to play multiple times in a week, like three different times
or
playing
four,
golf.
Four rounds.
The average person working 40 to 60 hours a week with multiple children, maybe working two jobs a week, they couldn't possibly understand the grind of having a newborn child with multiple nannies and playing golf three to four times. Well, it depends on if I make the cut.
No, it's two or four. It's two or four.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine how difficult it is playing golf four times? And you're out there sitting at your desk working, you know, delivering your stuff in your brown giant mobile or your Amazon truck, or maybe you're working in a steel factory and you're just kind of goofing off and, you know, having your sack lunches. It's very difficult, the life of a golfer. And when you add to it the draining nature of having a one-year-old, or she's not even one, having a child, and having all of these people there in the house to take care of it, it's cramped. 5,700 square foot house with three nannies, it's not big enough.
Well, you could buy a bigger probably house, but
it's a very tough life for me. And I'm not asking you to. I'm not asking for your sympathy. I'm just asking for you to understand. When you don't see me posting the scars that I usually post, there's a reason for it, and it's because of this grind.
No, I get it. It's a grind playing golf all the time. Yeah. I mean, I do.
Oh, my goodness. It's tired.
No, I get it. I get it. It's exhausting. You know what? You know, playing golf. You know, a lot of us do that for recreation, but it's your, you know, job to, like, play four rounds a week.
It's almost too much to ask one man to deal with. One child and golf. And then my driver, you know, what really, are you familiar with the issues I have with my driver?
Well, you mean the driver of your car who drives you around?
Yeah, he takes the wrong routes.
Oh, well,
it is to get out of the ways.
Yeah.
App on your phone and tell him, oh, look at this. We've got a faster route if you take a left here.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, wow, I'm doing his job for him too. Now I'm a golfer. I'm a caregiver. and I'm also basically an Uber driver.
It's exhausting.
I mean, this is,
I don't know how you get up in the morning.
The most difficult stretch of my life, without question. Not even when I was with that one tennis player girl and she tried to ruin everything.
Well, she was tall, so that was a problem, I'm sure. For you.
I'll say it was.
Yeah. It's golf. It's not that. Okay. So you're exhausted. Are you going to? So you're taking the, what about the Ryder Cup? You got that coming up too. Are you going to be able
God, I forgot all about that. I don't see any way I'm going to be able to play in a Ryder Cup. Can you imagine having to play golf and travel in a plane?
Well, it's here in the United, it's in Wisconsin, but okay.
Who wants to go to Wisconsin?
Well, it's north, yeah. But yeah.
Oh, I'm never going to have relations with my wife again. I can't do this. Two children would end my life.
No, wait
a
minute.
The mere fact that I have one and play golf is a modern-day miracle. They should make a documentary about me.
30-some years old, and you're, okay. You're
exhausted. Don't remind me how old I am. You said that.
How's your sciatica? How's that?
I've got a problem with my upper back, and I don't know if it's because of my age or one time I held my baby one time and she put too much strain. I felt like on my mid-back, I think it may have thrown something out. Is this being a father? No one told me it would be this difficult.
Well, but hopefully you won't fall down and break a hip or, you know.
Yeah. Hopefully I won't.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what old people do. You sound tired.
Can we give these things back or what do I do with this?
You can take
any way that I can.
Maybe you could take a nap or something.
Yeah, that's what I'll do. I'll take a nap. One thing's for sure. Is there any way that we can petition to get these tournaments cut back to 3 rounds? Is there any chance that they say, hey, let's play 54? Is there any chance?
Yeah.
Do they have a circuit that you know of where we only have to play 54?
Yeah. You know,
because this is ridiculous. We've got to start cutting back the amount.
Well, how about
they can't ask us to grind like this forever.
How about if you didn't have to walk and you could ride a cart? Would that?
I mean, I like the way you're talking. I like some of the things you're saying right now. Having a cart would make a huge difference. A huge difference.
Yeah. You won't be
and also
tired.
Maybe if you only had your baby once every 3 months, something like that.
You only want to see your baby every 3 months or so.
You could sleep. You could be properly rested. You might be good around the green again.
Maybe. All right. Thanks. Rory on a mobile right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. All right. Pete Prisco is on the other side right here. So don't you go anywhere. Pete Prisco. We're going to talk. And then we'll get to the Dana thing, I'm sure, sometime this show. Maybe not. GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com. That's my guy, John Clay Wolf. He's going to be on tomorrow morning right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Well, actually, 97.5. And if you're looking for the best way to sell your car, not even arguable, GiveMeTheVin.com. He is going to give you the most for your vehicle. He says, if I can't beat CarMax or I can't beat your dealer's offer, I'll send you $100. Now, you have a bona fide offer from your dealer. I'm going to tell you this right now. John Clay Wolf doesn't pay off on that $100 because you'll say, oh, the dealer will give you that. I'll give you this. I'll give you more. How about that? I'll just give you more because that's what I'm going to do. And in a lot of cases, it's a lot more. Dude just doesn't care about money for whatever reason. He just loves to give out the most for vehicles. He gave me for Frankie's car. It was stupid how I took him to the cleaners because Frankie's car was a disaster. It had more dings than any car he had ever had previously. So if you're looking for a guy who's going to give you the most for your vehicle, even if it's in crappy shape, GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5.
It's amazing.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I heard he had a rough go of it last week just because he lost his first preseason game, and that's not an attitude that you need to have in the NFL. And so he's got to change a few things. I mean, he brought a bunch of college-like things to the program, which I don't necessarily agree with, and I've heard some of the players aren't thrilled with him either, including having a microphone on the field, one of his assistants on the field during practice with a boom mic telling everybody to hydrate and hustle and get to the next period. So obviously he's a work in progress. He's been a good football coach everywhere he's been. It's a lot different when you recruit guys to your school and have a bunch of the top players, the five stars, than it is trying to build something. So it's going to be a challenge. I'm not giving up on what he can do in his first two games. I don't think that's fair to him. I don't think it's fair to the quarterback, but they're not off to a good start.
That was Pete Prisco earlier this week on the Duh Show. And he's joining us live right now here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 to talk about the Texans.
The DA show.
The Duh Show. Right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Pete, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing well. We got the Jags in week one here in Houston, and it is interesting to see. Urban, we haven't seen a lot of college coaches be able to adjust to the NFL. Pete Carroll is the best probably that we've seen in quite a while. And, you know, he's a player's guy though. And most college coaches have a rough time adapting, and Urban's having a tough time, isn't he?
Yeah. And Jacksonville had a college coach as their first coach in Tom Coughlin. And he had a tough time early on as well. I mean, there's an adjustment. Those guys are, you know, they're used to guys doing whatever the hell they tell them to do, whenever the hell they tell them to do. And it's not always that way in the NFL. Yeah, you got to follow the rules. You got to be on time. You got to do your work. But there's a lot of other issues at play. And you know, the thing with the speakerphone, you know, the microphone and all that on practice field, hustle, hustle, you know, hydrate, next period, you know, that's ridiculous. And I think some of the players have frowned on that. They think it feels like a college atmosphere. But we've seen that play out before. It either goes one of two ways. Either it's fixed, and by that I mean they adjust, the coaches, or the players rebel. And so I think you're going to see, and I think Urban's smart enough to realize that he's going to have to adjust a little bit and do things more along the lines of an NFL player. Here, you know, a couple of weeks ago he said, hey, the guys are going to be playing for me. No, they're not. In the NFL, they play for their money, period. They play for their check. And so if he really believes that, he's got to change the way he thinks about the NFL game.
That's what I'm wondering, Pete. Knowing what you know about him, and of course most of us just know him from watching him in college, but Nick Saban found out real quick and decided, okay, I'm not messing with this. One and done in Miami. This is not for me. He had coached in the NFL before, so obviously he knew, but I think the NFL was much different for him, you know, in the 2000s than it was for him in the early 90s with Bill Belichick. I'm kind of curious, do you think Urban Meyer has what it takes to make the necessary changes internally or personality-wise to end up sticking around for more than 3 years max at Jacksonville?
Well, he's going to have to learn how to deal with losing. And when you're at the college level like he's been, you recruit the best of the best, and you don't really have to worry about losing. And so, you know, you might lose one game, and that you're, you know, or two. You're not going to lose 7, 8, 9, 10. And so I think that's going to be the toughest thing. And, again, he lost the preseason game the first week, and I heard it really, you know, weighed on him. You can't allow that to happen. You have to be able to allow that stuff to flow, you know, go over your shoulder and get on with the next game. And I don't necessarily think he's going to have the ability to adjust to that in his first season. And he's going to lose a lot of games. I mean, that's a team that's going to lose 9, 10 games. And so I think that they're going to be keeping an eye on him to see how he handles it. You mentioned it. College coaches have the rough transition because they don't understand the grind of, okay, that one's done. Now we got 16 more to go in the regular season. And so I think that's going to be the toughest adjustment for Urban Meyer.
Did he handle the quarterback situation well, in your opinion?
Terrible. Awful. Bad. Any word you could use. Disgusting. It was a terrible display of college-like gamesmanship, and it was stupidity at its finest. They took away first-team reps from Trevor Lawrence, even though you know Gardner Minshew's a backup at best for any team in the NFL. The perception of Gardner Minshew outside of Jacksonville is significantly better than what it is inside of Jacksonville because they know. They've watched him. He holds the ball. He takes sacks when he shouldn't take them. He moves out of clean pockets. He's just not a good quarterback. And to try and create this illusion of a quarterback competition, a quarterback situation where you have to decide who the starter is, was ridiculous. And you took away first team reps. Trevor Lawrence needs as many first team reps as he possibly can get. And yet, at times they were splitting him, and Gardner Minshew was getting the first of them. And that was just dumb. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I never did. I think they really hurt the growth of Trevor Lawrence by doing that.
I thought it just didn't make any sense. I mean, you know, he's the first pick coming in. He has these generational traits. I don't know that his tape was always necessarily generational at Clemson, because we like to throw that word around a lot. But there's just no question his upside is extraordinarily high. I thought his tape was very, very promising and good, and really show that he was significantly better, I thought, than the quarterbacks in this draft. You know, it's just a matter of, can they mentally handle it, and do you have enough up front from an offensive line standpoint to keep them from getting bludgeoned so that they don't maybe lose confidence? To that point, I want to ask you about the offensive line and their ability to protect, because they're going to see a Texans front that's a lot more active under Lovie Smith. Is the offensive line that's in place right now, are they healthy enough and talented enough to put your golden boy out there and expect him to stay healthy for most of the year?
Well, when they're healthy, they are. I think the biggest problem the other night was they weren't healthy. I mean, they were down three starters. You take three starters away from any offensive line and you're going to struggle. And you're talking about the two veterans of the group and Brandon Linder and Andrew Norwell, the center and left guard. And Linder played very well last year. Norwell played much better last year than he did the year before when he was a major disappointment. So, yeah, I think they're good enough. They brought back all five guys. I mean, they brought them all back, and they thought with George Warhop, who they've also brought back, he's one of the few holdovers from the staff as the line coach, that they would be much better up front. They haven't been able to get a lot of work together. They've been in and out because of injuries. But I think once you get those guys back in there, they're plenty good enough. I mean, are they going to be a great offensive line? No, but they're good enough. I think my biggest criticism is the way they're running the offense right now, and if it continues that way, it's going to be a problem. And Daryl Bevel is big on that, you know, all ISO routes, not a lot of pre-snap motion. And I don't think necessarily that's a good thing when you don't have great speed outside in the passing game. You got to get creative to get those guys open. And you know, DJ Chark wasn't there and he hasn't been there, and he'll be back for the opener. But I still think they're not a fast team on the outside. They got to get more creative.
And that was what I was going to ask you. What are they, you say they're going to lose nine, whatever, however many games they're going to lose. What are they lacking? What do they have to have in the next couple of years to be a better football team?
Well, speed on the outside, first and foremost. The tight end who can scare in the middle of the field. I think those are two things. On the defensive side of the ball, they got to find out if their guys can rush the pass. You look at, you know, Josh Allen has been banged up. He's missing time now. And after an impressive rookie season, didn't play very well last year. Big year for him. And then also Kalyvon Chaisson. He used the first-round pick on the guy. They're switching to more of a, 3-4 look up front, although, you're nickel 65% of the time, so it's really, but they're going to have him standing up, and I think that he was miscast as a down defensive end. But this is a big year for him. They have to show that they can rush the passer and influence the quarterback, because they did a horrible job of it last year.
Pete Prisco joins us right now talking a little bit about the situation. I am very curious about also how it was received. I was reading some of the comments. I didn't understand why Travis Etienne, of course, he's out for the year now with the foot injury. I had a hard time understanding, Pete, why he was being given so many reps at wide receiver. I understand having a running back who can, who's multifaceted. I understand trying to work him in with James Robinson, who had a very good year as an undrafted free last year. What were your thoughts? I don't think I ever read your thoughts on playing Etienne at wide receiver. I didn't understand the point in that.
Yeah, I mean, look, I know maybe you use him for practice or two to get him acclimated to catching the football. That's what they said they wanted to do, because he didn't do a ton of it at Clemson. I know he did some of it, but I'm with you. I mean, he's a running back, and he'd be the first guy, and I've talked to him about it. He was the first guy. He says he's a running back. Yeah, sure, he was okay, getting acclimated to catching the football, but he's a running back, and I don't understand. First off, you don't draft him in that spot. I mean, let's be real. You don't draft that guy. As much as I like him as an air type of back and a speed back, you don't draft him in that spot. And now he's hurt now for the year, which, running backs they come, they go, you run them in the ground, you draft another one. You know how that is. And so I was very disappointed with the pick. I love the kid as a player, but I was disappointed with the pick. And he's one of the few speed guys that they actually had that's no longer there. So I'm with you. They should have just played him at running back and tried to integrate him into their offense that way.
I think it's that whole concept of, hey, listen, no one's job is safe. No one has anything given to them. You've got to earn it. So we're going to – right off the bat, they were – we're going to run him at wide receiver. And like, what are y'all doing? What is this? And then just to get back to your point, the Trevor Lawrence thing never made any sense. You roll with that guy and you move forward with him. But it's like Urban is really trying to show you, hey, we're creating a new culture. No one's safe.
Before you go, Pete, are you buying the Jags as a 3-point favorite over the Texans in week one?
I like the Texans. I'll take the points. I think that Texans team is going to be feistier and more of a problem for teams than people think. I don't necessarily think they're going to win a ton of games, but I think week in and week out, you look at the makeup of the team, there's a lot of veterans, a lot of hungry veterans, and I think they're going to be feisty. I think they're going to be a tough out week in and week out. They're going to, you know, try and run the ball, play, you know, get Ingram and those guys and Lindsey going, and then maybe take some shots down the field. I think Nico Collins has been impressive so far. But again, I don't think they're going to be a team that's going to win a ton of games without Deshaun Watson, but I think they're going to be feisty and a tough out every single week because that's what the makeup of the team is.
Did you hear Pete talking about our team?
That's right.
Feisty. We're feisty.
I think they might be.
I do, too.
As long as they don't get
They
don't get too crazy with the win total.
No, feisty. Pete?
No, I wouldn't get too crazy with the win total. I'm with you, but I think they're going to be tough out every single week. By the way, I like Davis Mills coming out. Now I like him even more after watching him.
Yeah, no. Listen, he's exceeded expectations here. I think for me anyway, he's much better than I thought he was going to be coming out of Stanford with very few starts. That's for sure. Hey, Pete, we appreciate it. Thanks for hanging with us, and you know, hopefully we'll talk again soon.
You got it, guys. Take care,
Pete Prisco, right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Time for you to understand that you can help out. And it doesn't even take much. You can help out with carsforkids.org. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. If you go to carsforkids.org, you are going to find that you don't really have to do anything but make a phone call, and they'll come out there and they will haul off your car, your truck, your motorcycle. It doesn't matter what it is that you have, whether it's running or it's not running. They will take it. They'll haul it off. They do the title search and transfer. They do all the heavy lifting for you, and you get a tax write-off. I mean, how easy is this? You get a tax write-off for doing nothing more than having them come take something off of your lawn or out of your driveway or out of whatever storage facility you may have it in, and they can make good use of it. And you are going to help a young person have a second chance at a diploma. It's that simple. Cars for Kids works with the Houston Can Academy to help make that a reality. And now you can get in the middle of it with a tax write-off, to, you know, no less, by simply contacting them at carsforkids.org, right off the car and not the kid.
ESPN 97.5.